This is Alex Ritson with the newsroom. The White House hits back at claims that Donald Trump's threat to obliterate Iranian energy infrastructure could constitute a war crime.
You're saying the word potential for a reason, because I'm sure some experts are telling you that in your ear to try to ask me that question. Of course, this administration and the United States Armed Forces will always act within the confines of the law.
Residents of further Lebanese villages are ordered to evacuate by the Israeli military. As the global oil price soars, Ukraine refuses to halt attacks on Russian energy infrastructure unless Vladimir Putin does the same.
What happens after that? We'll be right back to the blackouts and the transportation crisis.
Meanwhile, a Russian oil tanker approaches Cuba, the only one so far since the US blockade started. And
it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
NASA's countdown has started for Artemis 2, the first moon mission in more than 50 years. First, the news.
BBC News with Chris Barrow. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that more than half of his military aims over Iran have been achieved, but he didn't want to put a schedule on the timeline for ending the conflict. The Israeli leader said the attacks by the US and Israel were weakening Iran's leadership by degrading the country's military, missile and nuclear capacity. Earlier, the White House press secretary, Caroline Levitt, said President Trump expected Iran to make a deal.
Part of the ongoing process that's taking place and the ongoing negotiations, of course, anything that they say to us privately will be tested, and we will ensure that they are being held accountable to their word. And if they are not, the president has laid out the military consequences that the Iranian regime will see if they don't hold true to the words that we are hearing privately behind the scenes.
Iran has again denied there have been negotiations with U.S. officials. Iran's foreign minister has urged Saudi Arabia to evict U.S. forces from its territory. Abbas Araghchi insisted Tehran's attacks in the region were not aimed at Gulf countries, but at enemy aggressors who he said had no respect for Arabs or Iranians, nor, he said, could they provide any security. Israel's parliament has approved a law which would make the death penalty the default sentence for Palestinians convicted of fatal attacks on Israelis. 62 members of the Knesset voted in favour and 48 voted against. From Jerusalem, Sebastian Usher has the details.
The bill stipulates that Palestinians convicted in Israeli military courts of killing people in militant attacks will be executed by hanging. In theory, Jewish Israelis could also be executed under the law, but in practice this almost certainly would not happen, as the death penalty could only be carried out where the intention was to negate the existence of the State of Israel. That's a key reason that it's been denounced by Palestinians, human rights groups and some European governments. One Israeli rights group has already made an appeal to Israel's Supreme Court, which may well strike it down.
The United States is to resume processing some asylum applications after a crackdown introduced in response to the shooting in November of two National Guard members by an asylum seeker. But asylum seekers from countries regarded as high risk by Washington will still face restrictions, Bernadette Keogh reports.
Since November, all asylum claims to the US have been halted. Now, the US Citizenship and Immigration Services has said it will lift the hold on applications. But restrictions will remain for a range of countries Washington deems high risk. That's mostly countries in Africa, as well as Iran, Afghanistan and Syria. The Trump administration blamed vetting failures dating back to President Biden's time in office for the admission to the US of an Afghan immigrant accused of shooting the National Guard members in November, one of whom later died.
World news from the BBC. At least 16 people are known to have been killed in a gang attack in central Haiti, although the number of dead is expected to rise. The violence involving one of the country's largest gangs took place in the Artibonite region. Australia's internet regulator says it's investigating the world's biggest social media companies for allegedly failing to keep children off their platforms, despite a law that came into effect late last year. The platforms could face fines if they're found to have breached regulations. Simon Atkinson reports from Sydney.
This update confirms what any young person in Australia could tell you, that despite under-16s being banned from 10 of the major social media platforms, many are still using them freely and openly. Now, Australia's eSafety Commissioner is on the offensive. She says there are significant concerns about the compliance of Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok and YouTube. The regulator will now start gathering evidence of the breaches and can fine companies up to $33.9 million US dollars.
The singer Celine Dion has announced her return to the stage 4 years after she was diagnosed with a rare disease that affected her singing voice. The 58-year-old, who's one of the best-selling artists of all time, will play a 10-night residency in Paris later this year. She was diagnosed in 2022 with an incurable condition called stiff person syndrome, which causes muscle spasms. But in a video to fans, she said she was managing her health and feeling good. The American basketball star Jaden Ivey has been sacked by his team, the Chicago Bulls, after criticising the National Basketball Association's support for the LGBTQ community. In a statement, the Bulls said his dismissal was due to conduct detrimental to the team. It comes after Ivey, in a post on social media, condemned the NBA's effort to mark Pride Month, which he described as celebrating unrighteousness. Ivey had been at the Bulls for less than 2 months. That's the latest BBC News.